Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Revolutionary Life
right here on Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Revolutionary Life deals with things that affect our lives every day. We just deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change, baby. That revolutionary point of view, just as a revolutionary trying to be on the vanguard of change. Change is inevitable. Can't stop change. Reactionaries try to stop change. Revolutionaries just want to be on the vanguard of change. If you're on the front of change, you might have something to say with how it's shaped when it lands. If you're on the ass end of change, you might not have anything to say about anything. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. So tonight, guys, on Revolutionary Life, our topic tonight is politics. You know, we have all kinds of topics, right? Everything affects our lives, for sure. Politics, elections are coming up, and that kind of thing. So check it out. Tonight's topic, politics and what does good government look like? Have you ever seen that? Do you have an example? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight, guys, just keep in mind that this show, Revolutionary Life, is a call-in show. At a certain point in this show, after presenting the material, we open these lines up here for call-ins. We open up our chat room for comments. So we set aside a whole half of the show to see what you think. And so the first half of the show is just a presentation. The rest of it is up to you. And so I will announce that call-in time. I'll be giving out that call-in number, and I will be opening up my chat. But right now, before we go to call-in, right now, let's put this material together, guys. Let's put this presentation down, and let's see what you think. Tonight, the topic is politics. And what does good government look like? What does that look like? Have you ever seen it? Do you have an idea of what good government looks like? When you go to vote, are you going to vote for the specific issue that you care about or have any interest in? Taxes, abortion, guns. Do you have a specific issue that you're going to be leaning toward when you vote on whoever you vote for or whatever? Have you come to the have you come to the conclusion that the manner of government, not the people in it, the machine itself, the institution itself, the manner of government is what needs to be voted on? Not who is going to take this office or that office inside of the same machine. Maybe we need to be voting on the machine, the methodology, the process. It's not working, is it? Are you happy with your governance? It doesn't seem so. A country that can vote for Obama two times in a row and then go straight from an Obama to Donald Trump and the Trump family. You can go straight from a husband, a wife, and kids, a cute little family, presidential family, to a bunch of hustlers. Hustlers. I call them hustlers just because they're all out there trying to make a buck, every last one of them. Trump, the children. And they, none of them have any experience or any history in devoting any time to public service. And all of a sudden, somebody who's never done public service, who's never shown an interest in public service, these guys haven't worked for the Peace Corps. I'm talking about the Trump family. These guys hadn't worked for the Peace Corps. These guys hadn't volunteered with the Boy Scouts. These guys don't do anything in their communities, food distributions, and neighborhood stuff. These guys haven't been judges or local politicians. They have no record of public service. But yet they get a chance to run the public, to govern the government. How about that? That's strange to me. It happened, guys. It'll go down in history as having happened. Right-wing groups and all that kind of stuff, Russians in the White House, it went down just like that. And if you lived in America any length of time, you know that that's strange. In my lifetime, Russia has always been an enemy, an adversary. My understanding is they point missiles at us. My understanding is we point missiles at them. Since when, as two friends, two allies, point missiles at each other, aim guns at each other? It's like two friends saying, hey, we friends, but we got guns pointed at each other at all times. At all times, the Russians, guys, when the Russians do military exercises, when they play shirts and skins, who you think the skins are? When the Russian military does a military exercise, and that exercise is a simulation of what will happen if Russia is attacked, who do you think plays the opposition in those simulations? Japan, you do. The shirts are the Russians. The skins, when they play games, war games, baby, you are the target in those war games. And the same thing here. When we have war games, who do you think we are training ourselves to take on the biggest war? Mm-mm. Not some small country. When we have war games, we are the shirts, they are the skins. But all of a sudden, I've seen more Russians in the White House and around our president and our elections than I've ever seen in my life. And I just don't know when Russians became allies. I don't know when the Russian government became an ally of the U.S. government. I just don't remember that happening. Maybe somebody can tell me what when they took over the Ukraine. I mean, when they took over the Crimea from the Ukraine militarily, did that make them friends of ours at that point? What did they do that changed the dynamic since I was born? Of Boris and Natasha, of the Russians. When did that change? I don't know. But we had a period in our country just a few years ago where everything seems to have flipped. Strangest thing. Strangest thing. Anyway, guys, there's a glitch in the matrix. There's always a glitch. And if you're prepared, you can probably step in that breach. I know people who ran for president when Obama became president, because they thought if he could be president, anybody could. And so many of them who've never engaged in politics before, friends of mine, ran for president or decided to go to political office. How about that? So that was one positive thing for sure. It just alerted a lot of people to politics all of a sudden. People who never discussed politics were discussing politics when the Trump administration came to power. And so whole political channels like MSNBC and the like, whole political sources popped up and became popular for news, political news, solely political news. And so in the light of that, I thought we'd do a presentation tonight on good governance, because maybe the key is not voting for who will run the government. Maybe the key to what we should be doing is voting on what kind of government we want here in this country. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. What does that look like? Like I said, this is a call-in show. So when I finish my presentation here, guys, we're opening up these lines. So I want you to think about this subject. The heading is politics. The topic is, what does good government look like? Do you have an idea? Do we need to change the way governing is done in this country? Or we just need to change the different people sitting in the seats? Well, history should have taught us something, guys. If you've been around a while, history should have taught you something. I don't know. We'll find out tonight on Revolutionary Life Chat. I'm going to give you a little music. I'll be right back, and we're going to open it. We're going to work this conversation. I'd like to know what you think also. So at some point, we're going to open up these lines. So if you got thoughts on this matter, get them ready, because I'd like to hear what you have to say. Let me give you a little music. I'll be right back. Hang in there. We'll be right back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Here at Revolutionary Life, we look at all those things that affect our lives. Today we're looking at politics from a revolutionary point of view, of course. And let me tell you something about a revolutionary point of view in politics. If you came up in my era, there was a lot of revolutionary movements, organizations that were formed back in the day that all they wanted was revolution. All they wanted was change. Change. It called for revolution. Now, within those organizations, they had many strikes. Some of them were Communist Party organizations. Some of them were socialist organizations. Some of them were capitalist organizations, right-wing organizations, but they all want to change. They all want to change. And in matter of fact, in some of these organizations, guys, and I had the opportunity to work with some of them because I want to change too. And so there was a Vietnam War. We were in the middle of a war when I came up, so that was an anti-war movement going on. What are we doing in Vietnam? Why are we over there? Vietnamese haven't attacked us. That was a false flag attack that we found out later that never happened, that causes us to declare war in Vietnam. But we were there before we declared war, guys, by the way. We were sneakily over there fighting anyway with the French. And so as the Vietnamese tried to achieve their independence, and this was during a time when a number of countries was trying their independence. Yeah, everybody was saying, we don't want colonies. We don't want to be the colony of some country. We want to be our own country, independence. You remember the United States government had an independence movement? You remember 4th of July, Independence Day? Do you remember the Stars and Stripes and all that fight that went on? Do you know we had a revolutionary movement in America called the American Revolution? Do you know the American colonies decided they did not want to be a colony of Great Britain? They wanted to be a separate country, their own independent country. And we fought and won our independence. Curious, huh? Curious thing happened. After we won our independence, the strangest thing happened when Africa, Asia, and Latin American countries said, hey, we've been colonies for centuries. We want our independence. We didn't go over to support them. As a matter of fact, we supported the French in Vietnam because they wanted to keep Vietnam a colony of France. Or maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that Vietnam, before there was a war in Vietnam that we were involved in, Vietnam was a colony of Great Britain, the same way we were colony of Great Britain. Vietnam said we want our independence the same way we said we want our independence from Great Britain. Did we support them in their independence? No. No. We supported their colonial masters. It's like us supporting Great Britain to keep other people colonies, colonialized, while we were fighting for our independence from being colony. How about that? We won our independence, but every other country, Asia, Africa, and Latin America, when they fought their independence movement, they found us on the opposite side. Strangest thing. Shouldn't they have their independence the same way we wanted ours? But they told me if they get independence, they're going to go communist or socialist. Well, it's up to them where they go, isn't it? Since when do we determine what kind of government they are going to have? Tonight, we talking about what kind of government we're going to have. We got our independence. We fought against other people getting theirs, it seems. The Congo, you name it. Cuba, you name it. And when anybody stood up and said, we want our independence just like America got theirs, America joined the side of the people who were against their independence. How about that? They're colonial masters. Because we didn't want them to become communists, but we couldn't stop that. Eventually, they're going to become what they're going to become. All right? We need to worry about what's going on here in this country. Fascism, communism, socialism, capitalism. We need to wonder about what we're building here more than what other people are deciding for their countries. So, yeah, I was against the war in Vietnam, like many people in America. It didn't matter. It didn't matter, guys. And that's why so many revolutionary movements sprung up in the 70s, because it didn't seem to matter to the government of our country that most people in our country, whenever you took a poll, most people were against the war in Vietnam. In a country where majority rule, that meant that we're supposed to be coming out of there. But we weren't. We went in deeper. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The war was in Vietnam, guys. But when the American people, 70% of the American people said, no war. Let's get out of Vietnam. We got no reason to be there. The federal government got deeper into the war. And the next thing you know, we not only had American troops in Vietnam, we had troops in Laos, in a country called Laos. We had troops in Cambodia. We were all over the place. Well, you know, rather than coming out, we got in deeper. So once the people realized that their voice didn't mean shit, that if 70% of the population can say no war and we still go to war, then people realized that their voice didn't mean shit. And so, yeah, revolutionary movements, efforts to change the government occurred all over the country. Protests against the government, all kinds of things. Because the government wasn't listening to its population. Instead of voting for who's going to sit in the seats of government, maybe we should be voting on what kind of government we want. Then we can decide who can best deliver that type of government. And that's what we're talking about tonight, guys. So what does good governance look like? Does a government need to exist, in your opinion? I don't say you're anarchist, because they are anarchists. It doesn't believe there needs to be a government, period. Every man for himself. On the other hand, and that's referred to as anarchy, on the other hand, there are people who believe there should be a centralized government, like a business that has a corporate head, and the corporation head says, we're going to do this, and everybody does it. The corporate head, when they decide to move a plant to Mexico, then you don't have a say in that plant department. If you work in that department, pack your shit, because you're finna go home. And that plant or that department you worked in is finna be shipped to Mexico, where workers will work for what you make an hour. They will make it a week. If you make $15 an hour, they're gonna take that plant to somewhere where they can pay $15 a week for a worker. And you can go home. But that's the way a corporation's goal is to work for the benefit of its stockholders and shareholders, right? And so if it benefits the stockholders and shareholders to find a cheaper place to make and assemble products, especially labor-intensive stuff like assembly lines, the more labor-intensive jobs, you want to take where labor is cheaper, where labor is not organized, where you don't have to sit down across the table with representative of the workers and work out contracts, legal contracts. No, 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 no. You want to go somewhere where people are desperate for work. They'll work for whatever you pay them. And you pay them much less than you would here. You go where there's no work or benefits, where they live off their pay, period. And you make tremendous amount of, you save tremendous amount of money. Just like if you got a robot. If you got a robot to do a job that men used, that four men used to do, that four men can go home. They can pack their shit because that robot is going to do their job for them. Now, the company will save money that way because they don't have to worry about sick leave, pregnancy leave, or any of that with a robot. The robot ain't going to ask for better wages and working conditions. Right? And so it's cheaper for a robot to do the job. It's cheaper to automate the job than it is to hire some human being to do the job, especially in a country where the minimum wage and the cost of living is high compared to other countries and other states even. And so it behooves the corporation to automate. They save a lot of money that way. There's nothing bad about that, guys. If you're a corporation and somebody tells you a way you can make more money, you make more money. You may try that way out if you can bring in more income for you and your investors, which is your job, right, as a corporation. It is in your founding documents as a corporation to do the best you can for your stockholders. Right? If you have a government organization, the highest standard of a government organization is something they produce for the public good. You will often hear the word public good in the founding documents of a department, like a police department or a health department or government agency. But you won't find that in a corporate agency, the public's good. But that will show up in the founding documents of most government agencies because they're put there for you, right, supposedly. And so what happens when you contract out the government? What happens when you contract out government responsibilities to private corporations with a whole different constitution than ours? They will provide those services based on whether it benefits them and their tax and their shareholders. And so that's what you get right now. Healthcare, housing, food, clothing, all the basics are provided to you by corporations. Not the government. The government is solving the problem of housing, clothing, food for its population through corporations, businesses. Those businesses then are taking the government's money to contract out to run these, to provide food, clothing, the agricultural community, et cetera, to provide those things to you at a cost. And they want to be able to set that cost to where it's beneficial for them. And when the question comes up, whether it's beneficial for you as a public or whether it's beneficial for them as a corporation, guess which way they go. They go the way their founding documents obligate them to go. They go for the best interests of their shareholders, not you. Unless you're a shareholder. And that's okay, because that's the nature of a corporation. But it's not okay for me to turn your life and your livelihood and your future and your kids' future over into the hands of a contracted out private corporation who does not have your interest in its documentation, let alone in its heart. Here's what we've done here in America. we've positioned corporations, business and corporations in between the government and those it governs. Every move the government makes on behalf of those it governs, it runs through, it contracts out, it does an analysis of how corporations could benefit by providing these services to you. And then the government will pay the corporations, and the corporation will work out how they're going to get you the vaccine or the food or the clothing or the housing, industry, the real estate industry. This is your country. This is your land, most of it, some of it, public land, that's being sold off to private corporations to use to make a profit. That's their goal. And so it's being sold to private corporations. Much of public land, much of the public's resources have been turned over. In my city, public land, public health, public libraries, public transportation, the sanitation department, all of these services are contracted out through private organizations for whose interest is not mine. They provide that service for money. And if I can't pay that money, or if they can't make a profit off of it, they will quit. Or they would go to my politicians and say, we need more money for garbage pickup. If we're going to do y'all's garbage pickup, in order for us to pay our workers, we need more money. Are we going to pick up less garbage? Because it's not profitable for us. And so our politicians fall over backwards to try to make that contracted out corporate service profitable for the corporation that it's contracted out to. Tax breaks, tax abatements, discounts, free land, free services. Our politicians spend most of their time trying to make the world comfortable for corporations. Oh, we need more jobs. Well, let's get a corporation to come to our city. How are we going to get them to come? We're going to offer them whatever they ask for. Free this, free that. And when the corporation comes and hire a bunch of minimum wage jobs, then the politician can say, see, I brought 600 jobs to this city by bringing that corporation here. And I brought 500 more jobs by bringing this corporation here. And the corporations owe us nothing but a salary, a check at the end of the week. At a price, at a wage that they agree upon, that they can handle. We don't set the wage, guys. Me and you don't set the wage. There is no more labor movement. There is no more trade unions that can sit down and have a legal contract filled out by a corporation and say they're going to do this or they're going to violate this contract and by that violate the law. And so they don't like contracts. especially down south. Down south, we have right to work laws, mutualities acts. Look that shit up. That means that you don't have to be in a union or anything else. And matter of fact, they'd prefer if you didn't organize. And so in the South, you got the least organized workforce. Makes it cheaper that way, guys. And so they come down here. They've always come down here from the North, from more organized labor group areas where labor is more organized historically, Detroit, et cetera. And they come down here because historically labor is cheap in the South. Remember slavery? Yeah, historically labor has been cheap in the South. And so corporations will come down here for that cheap labor. Our politicians will bend over backwards giving our money and our land and the public services, the public property, over to corporations to run for profit. That's not good governance. When under Obama, I learned a new term about corporations. I learned that there were certain corporations that were referred to as too big to fail. Too big to fail. If a corporation is too big to fail, what does that mean? It's a private corporation. If they don't do their due diligence and they screw everything up, they're going to fail. Oh, no. The government said, oh, no, they're too big to fail, even though they've screwed up, even though they can't keep up with the rest of the world, even though they've made bad investment decisions, even though they run their business in the ground, even though they're too big to fail, we're going to save them. So what does that mean, too big to fail? It literally means if General Motors fails, if certain financial institutions fail, that the country would fall with it. That's what too big to fail means. If that company fails, we are going to get hurt as a people, as a country. You know what that tells me, right? Or what it should tell you, I would think. That we have gotten into bed, we've gotten too close. We've gotten our business, public business, too intertwined with private business to the point where we can't even allow a private business that's ill-run to fall as it should because it's ill-run. We can't allow a business to fail because we're so tied into them that if they go down, we go down. That's how deep the rabbit hole goes. That's how deep we are tied into private business, privately owned corporations run this place. If you propose a new program for your city, the next thing the city officials will do is find a private corporation which will enact the program for us for a profit. And if we can't find a business that can make money off of this program, it's not going in. But if we can find a way that business can make a profit and we can provide this service to the population at the same time, we're going to get that service. But now it all depends on what businesses would be willing to provide food, clothing, and shelter to this population. Who can the government buy from? Who can the government contract with? The truth of the matter is, the government don't need to contract with anybody. The truth of the matter is, the joke on us is that contracting out hasn't saved us a dime. Look at where we are in my city. We're on the list of one of the worst cities to hang out at, to be in. and maybe your city too. But the corporations are happy, even though most people in my city are one jump ahead of their bills or one jump behind. So what's good governing look like? I'm going to propose to you that good government looks like the Declaration of Independence. There's already a document out there, a founding document of this country, of all its documents, that tells you what good government looks like. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to scratch your head to figure it out. The document says, and I'm quoting, I think, paraphrasing, I guess, because I don't have it in front of me. The document says, the Declaration of Independence says, that we have certain inalienable rights that we cannot be alienated from. And it says that among those rights, there's many of them, but among them is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of your goals in life. Pursuit of happiness, doing your thing. Now, let's start with just one of those things. Now, oh, hold on a second. That Declaration of Independence also says, after it speaks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it follows that statement by saying, to protect those rights, those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to protect those rights, governments are created among men. That's what it says. In order to, you have these rights, but to protect those rights, governments are created among men. I just told you why we have a government. Just by reading that sentence, guy, I just told you the purpose of a government. At least one such purpose. That is to guard our inalienable rights. According to the Declaration of Independence, the founding documents of this country, we have certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and government to protect those rights, governments are created among men. That's what it says in the document. I want you to review those rights as an American citizen, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and ask me if the government is doing a good job. Are you pursuing your goals in life? Are you free? Are you living or dying or hanging on or surviving? Well, here's the thing. Let's take just one of those inalienable rights, the right to life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's take life, for instance. That's one of those inalienable rights that governments have been created to protect, according to the Declaration of Independence. And so life, if we'll get down to the very basic, guys, every living thing on earth, in order to live, needs some basic things. So as to protect our inalienable right to life, those basic things would have to be protected. Let's say food, clothing, and shelter. Those are called survival needs, not progressive, growing, blooming, getting better. No, that's just survival needs of life. Something, everything crawling, flying out there, living, generally pursues the day it's born, food, clothing, and shelter. Have we secured those things in this country? Have our government protected our inalienable right to life? Even if we look at the very basics of life, are they protected by this government? Food, clothing, and shelter. Well, let me give you a little data, guys. The CDC, the Census Bureau says that one out of five, you can count them on one hand, guys, five fingers, one out of five kids go to bed hungry in America and not know where their next meal is coming from. One out of five children in this country. In this country, they said the infant mortality rate, and this is government figures, the infant mortality rate, that is kids who die before the age of one, is equal to that of a third world country. And we're supposed to be the most advanced industrialized country on earth. Why do we have homeless people, homeless, hungry, and ragged people, citizens of our country, are people who fear being homeless, ragged, and hungry every day, who have to worry about the possibility of ending up homeless, ragged, and hungry. One out of five children do, according to stats, the statistics. Look it up, guys. One out of five. And so I don't see where the government is protecting our inalienable rights here, especially the right to life. Food, clothing, and shelter should have been squared away 1,000 years ago or more. I mean, cavemen, Neanderthal man, maybe had to risk his life for food, clothing, and shelter. But this is the 21st century, baby. Are we still going out, risking our life to eat in the 21st century? Are we still taking a chance of going to jail for stealing food, clothing, and shelter? No. So a good government, especially one that has a founding document that says governments were created to protect your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the Declaration of Independence, by the way, guys, makes a reference to what happens when a government fails in protecting your inalienable rights. The Declaration of Independence says you have a duty. You have a duty. You have a right to change that government and replace that government with one that's more with new guards. I'm quoting now from that document. You have the responsibility for overthrowing that government and replacing it with new guards of your inalienable rights. If they can't protect your inalienable rights per their documents, they failed. And new guards, according to the Constitution, has to be assigned to protect your inalienable rights. I submit to you that our reliance on corporations in between the government and you and the public it serves have put us in a position where we are not, our government cannot ensure that it can protect our inalienable rights. Obviously, based on the stats, we're not doing so well. This government at protecting our inalienable rights, starting with life. How about that one? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If we start with life, how good are we doing at providing food, clothing, and shelter? Protecting that right, inalienable right to life. Here we go. If a government is going to move forward, guys, it has to pull up the rear. If you move forward, you pull up the rear is how you move forward. A snake crawling on his belly pulls up the rear and then launches forward. A worm pulls up his butt and then he pushes his head forward. You have to pull up the rear. You cannot allow the rear to stay where it is and think you are going forward. We have to go get the homeless. We have to go get the hungry. We have to go get the ragged. And we have to close that door behind them once we pull them up so that nobody goes back through that door again. And we can move forward. That means that there has to be a government where the public interest outweighs the private interest. A private business is a personal concern. I didn't tell you to go into business. If you don't do your due diligence and you enter into a private venture and you fail, you fail. It's not my job to save you. I don't care how many people you hired. It's not my job to save you if you can't run a business. That's a personal thing. That's something you decide to do. The government didn't tell you to go into business. You did. You decided to make that move. So you make it or break it. Who's responsible for saving your business? Well, obviously, the government is now. If it's big enough, it could be too big to fail. You can screw up and still not lose your business. If you're too big to fail. If you can get intertwined into the government such that it can't afford to get you out of its business, to let you go, to watch you fail. That's too close to business. That's public depending too much on business. And so rather than depending on business, we need to depend on ourselves. If we go broke as a government, we go broke feeding each other, clothing and housing each other. We close the back door. We build a floor under which nobody falls. And that flow is very simple. It's in the foundation. It's called your inalienable rights. If we can't secure those, then we're not going anywhere in this experiment in government we call democracy here. If there are people in our country who are citizens of this country who are still fighting for food, clothing, and shelter every day, like some caveman or some primitive form of life, we haven't progressed, and we're not going to progress until we bring up the rear. In the military, they have a saying, an army moves as fast as its slowest soldier. An army moves as fast as its slowest soldier. You want to progress as a society? Huh? Do you? You want to keep playing the same old game over and over again? You want to progress as a society? How do you progress as a society? If we're going to progress as a society, we need to take back our public lands, our public libraries, our public schools, our public wealth needs to be returned to the public to distribute as we see fit amongst the public. And if we go down, we don't go down because of some corporations failed. No, we go down because we failed as a people. But we don't trust our government anymore because we don't trust corporations anymore. And it seems that our government runs on corporate energy. We need to change the energy, the fuel that runs our government. Right now, money is the mother's milk of politics. And who got a lot of that? You? Me? We need to be changing voting on what kind of government we want. And the model has already been laid out. I would take the Declaration of Independence as the model any day. So we need to decide on what kind of government we want, not who we want sitting in the seats, guys. We don't want to send somebody up into that meat grinder because they think that they can go in there and change something. We've been doing that for a century now, for two, in my city and longer in this country. And here we are. Hello? Here we are with hunger throughout our nation, homelessness throughout our nation, and the fear of that throughout our nation. Whatever this methodology of running this country on business, on corporations, on private enterprises, needs to be over. You need to be responsible for this government. But they're scared to let you have it. They think a corporation would be more responsible than you or me. How about that? When in fact, the founding documents of a corporation says it's only responsible to its stockholders, and shareholders, its investors, not you. Even though it's running a public service for you, for the government, and I told you, there's a corporation running damn near every public service we have in this city. Then they tell me in the military that they've contracted out certain military duties to private military organizations, private military organizations, they call them. You know what they are, right? You remember. They mercs. That's what they are. Our military is hiring mercs, an organization of soldiers of fortune. That's soldiers who will work for anybody, any country. They don't give a damn. They're soldiers of fortune, they're called. They will use their military skills for you or for another country. They don't care about politics or anything else. And so there are organizations now of soldiers of fortune, mercenaries, mercs, that our federal government will hire out in our mixed with our military. We've contracted out the military, folks, to private corporations. We contracted out our prisons to private corporations. We've contracted out our government to private corporations. Do you know that the Federal Drug Administration, rather than do tests on drugs itself, saves money by having the corporation that produced the drug do their own test and send the paperwork to FDA? And so here's where we are, guys. We're in corporate-run America. You got to make a decision. When you go to the polls, are you just sticking another human being into that machine because they have some good ideas or because they champion a particular issue that you champion? We've been doing that. You know, they say if you keep doing the same thing the same way over and over again and expecting something different to happen, that's a recipe for insanity. It's insane to do the same shit over and over again and sit there and wait for a different result to occur. So elections are coming up. You're going to send somebody else to office. But the office you're sending them to, the machine that you're sending them to, if they've never been there before, they're going to get a rude awakening. If they've been there before several times, then they've probably bought in. Sold out. Either way, they lack the machine. They don't want to change the machine. We need to change the machine, baby. That's revolution. Not the people sitting in the seats. That's my presentation today. Y'all want change? How bad do you want it? Is it got to be something new and different and strange and communistic or socialistic and all that bullshit? No. Those are economic theories. There's no communist government. You can call yourself communist, but if you look at the communist theory of what a communist government looks like, there's nothing here that looks like that on this earth that I know of. You can call yourself communist, but you're not. There is no communist government out there. Look up the definition. You will see. Maybe you got a socialist government, a dictatorship of some kind of the proletariat, or a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. But you don't have communists. And so, we need to decide, guys, not on some ism, because those are theories. We need to decide. We need to take this constitution we got, especially this independence, Declaration of Independence, which lays out one of the responsibilities of government, one that can get government overthrown, as a matter of fact, is this requirement to protect our inalienable rights. And if you don't think your government has done a good job of that, maybe it's time to change governments, not people who have bought in or sold out to this program, to this process. This process is not working for the average American. They told me today, last week I learned, that 1% of the American people, of the wealthiest people in America, owns more money, more wealth, owns more of this country than the entire middle class of this nation. We have 330-something million people in this country. 330-something million people, and 1% owns more wealth than all y'all. Even though you live and work here, even though production is great in America, high production is going down, even though the gross national product may have risen in terms of goods and services produced by this country, even though corporations have made the greatest amount of money they've made in a long time through this pandemic, how you doing? How you doing? Good governance would secure your inalienable rights per the Constitution, per the Declaration of Independence. A good government will secure your inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you want to know if you have good government in this country, look at the founding documents, look at the government, and says, okay, how are we doing? That's all. And if we ain't doing so well, it's time for change, sweet kicks. It's time for change. And revolution is just change, baby. We revolutionaries just want to be on the vanguard of change. That's why we are proposing the change and what it should look like. It should look like that declaration. It should look like a government going, bending over backwards to do what it was meant to do, and that's to protect our inalienable rights. If we have an inalienable right that includes life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, well, if it includes life, how about food, clothing, and shelter, the basic survival needs of life? How are we doing with those? Do we still have homeless, hungry? We're not doing so good, all. Hundreds of years later. I'm going to open my lines up now, guys. I thank you for listening to my rant or whatever you want to call it. It's time for change. And it don't happen until you're ready. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, we can make change in this country when you quit going to vote for the next guy or girl or woman. Then we vote for the type of government we need. Then we vote. Then we're making changes. This methodology, whatever it is, this government, business, people, business in the center, government on the outside and the people on the other side of business, and we're going to serve the people through business. Bullshit. That's how we got where we are. Too big to fail. A private business. We got too close to business. It's okay. Business is fine. It's not the end of me. But we've gotten too close. We've relied on business to do what the government is responsible for, when we know that the founding documents of a business and the founding documents of the government are two fundamentally different reasons for being. Statements of purpose, mission statements are different. My lines are open. This is our call-in section. I dedicate the rest of this show to call-ins and the community who listens. My phone number is area code 563-999-3531. 563-999-3531. Call me. You go straight onto the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. I'm going to be opening up my chat room. If you got questions, comments, concerns, put them in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat, and I'll respond to your questions and your concerns in the chat. And if you like, we will talk about them verbally over the air, if you like. And so, this part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine. It's your time to shine, baby. What do you think about good governance? Do we need just another politician? Or we need to change the way we do things around here? Revolution. Let me give you a little music while you think about giving me your opinion. Maybe it'll be helpful.
Awesome.
All right. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night, by the way, from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Listen, guys, all of our shows are archived. That is to say, if you're on my site right now, or if you come to my site and you stroll down the page, you'll see an on-demand section, a section called on-demand. And in that section will be all of our previous presentations, all of them. And they go way back, guys. And so you pick the topic, and you can listen to these presentations at any time, at your leisure. And so if you're not able to stay through the whole show tonight or you haven't been to other shows, you can always pick those shows up later in our on-demand section. This show will be in that on-demand section about an hour after we're done tonight. So you don't miss anything. Also, I want to remind you guys that there's a follow button on my site. If you look up at the top there on the right, you will see, is it left or right? You will see a follow button. Hit that button, and you'll be notified when we're live. All right? Anytime we go live, boom, you'll get a notification. Also, across from that follow button, man, there's a share button. Yeah. There's a share button. You might not be interested in good governance. You might not be interested in politics a little bit or whatever. But maybe you know others who are ready for change, revolution, nothing but change. Maybe you know others who are ready for change, who might like this presentation, share it with them. All right. All right. And tonight, here on Revolutionary Life, our topic has been politics. What does good governance look like? So I gave you an example of one government, this one, the one that I was raised under and became familiar with, experienced. So I think I can speak on this one more than I can anybody else's government. Better than I could any other government. Even though there's shit to go on in this one that I have to admit that me or you know nothing about. But if we were raised here, born and raised here, we went to school here, university here, all that, we got a good idea what America looks like, work how it works out there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we're experiencing it every day, right? And so I ask you tonight, what does good governance look like? I give you an example. I used our own government and our own constitution, our own founding document that kind of describe what the purpose of a government is. We are born with certain inalienable rights. To protect those rights, governments are created among men. That's a quote. And so how is our government doing? Let's put it up against that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Are we there yet? Well, it turns out that 1% of our population is there. They've made it. In fact, they own more than the entire middle class in terms of wealth in this nation, of this nation's product, wealth. 1%, one, not 2%, or 3%, or 5% of the population owns most of the government, most of the country. The wealth in this nation, 1% owns more than the entire middle class. And if you're below middle class, forget about it. You ain't even in the club. You ain't even in the running. They didn't bother calculating you. They calculated the wealthy against the middle class and found out that 1% of the wealthiest people in this country owns more than the entire middle class of this country. We got money, y'all. This country makes big money. Production is up. Goods and services are being produced. The gross national product, the gross domestic product is up. This country is making money. Where is it going? To the 1%. We ain't making money, Jack. We're an advanced industrialized country. That's money being made right now. You ain't getting none of it. That's the problem. My lines are still open. We still got a little time. My phone number is area code 563-999-3531. 563-999-3531. My chat room is open. I'm monitoring that chat. Questions, comments, concerns, go ahead and put them in the chat. I will respond. This part of my show I set aside for you. I call it Your Time to Shine. What do you think good governance look like? Let me give you a little music to think about it. We still got a little call-in time. And this is our call-in section. Your time to shine. Shine. listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Here's where we deal with the issues that affect our lives every day. Deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolutions just change. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change. That's all. You know, when you're on the front of change, you might have something to say about how it's shaped as it goes down. If you're on the ass end of change, you might not have anything to say about anything. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Tonight, we've been talking politics. Politics. Election time is coming around, and we're talking politics. And I ask you, what does good governance look like? You don't like this government. What would you replace it with? If you don't know, you're not ready to play this game. You're not ready to sit at this table. I'm sorry. If you don't like this government, just destroying it is not enough. I need to know what you would like to replace it with. And if you have no idea, if you haven't even thought about it, then you belong to a group of people who won't have anything significant change to do with this country and the way it's going. It's your country. It's going to affect your life. And if all you're doing is sitting around waiting for election day and voting for some poster, some picture on a poster, you're not doing anything to significantly change the way this country is going for you or your kids or the next generation. If you're into politics and you ain't bought in or sold out, you might want to stand back and say, this thing needs to change. If you're one of those politicians, maybe it's your time to stand up and call for a different way of running a country, more consistent with the founding documents. How about that? Of this country. This country didn't say that the government should protect your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness through corporate approval and approach and application. No, it made you responsible as a government to protect our inalienable rights. One of them is life, food, clothing, and shelter. It didn't tell you to go find a corporation that can do it for you or to make some corporation which are profitable doing it. That's not your job as a government. Your job is to protect our inalienable rights. And if you haven't figured out any way better to do it than to run it through a corporation and see who salutes, see which corporation is willing to do it if they can make a profit. We got the military has private armies in it, contracted armies, mercs, mercenaries. The sanitation department in my city is run by a private corporation. When my lights go out or the phone post, light post goes out, a private corporation comes by and put the lights in. And they're doing it for a profit, Jack. Not because they want you to have lights. That's not their job. The government has failed us, in my opinion, when I put this government up against its founding document. It's lost your trust because you don't trust corporations. Why would you trust the government? If you don't trust pharmaceutical companies, why would you trust a government that tells you to do what pharmaceutical companies want you to do, buy their product? Why don't you turn responsibility for the health of this nation over to a private corporation whose mission is not yours? The mission is to enrich their investors. That's their mission. I mean, that should be in their founding documents. Not the public good. That's not why corporations are formed. Did you start your business based on the public good as a sign that you're doing good business? No. You sign your business to make a profit for you and those who invested in. I understand that. That's not a bad thing. But you can't run a government like that. Making a CEO of a corporation head of a government is saying, I want to run a government like a business. That's all you're saying. It's already been run like a business. It ain't working for the majority of us. 1%, they say, of this population. 1% of the wealthiest people in this country own more than the entire middle class. So you're working your ass off. But who's getting the benefits? There it is, right there. So I want to thank everybody for listening in who listened in tonight. Those who care about this issue, those who have their own ideas of how we should approach this issue, I've opened my lines so that you can express those ideas on the air. And I've opened my chat room so you can speak to me, if you like, about your position on these ideas. And I'll do that every night. This show has a whole section. I just open it up for your response. And so tonight, thank you for listening in tonight, guys. I'll be here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. till 9 with Revolutionary Life. And we'll be looking at another subject from a revolutionary point of view. And that subject will always be one that affects your life every day, all day. We're just going to have a revolutionary take on it, guys. We want change over here. And revolution is just change. Now, I want to wish everybody a good night. I'm going to play you a little music to take us out of here tonight. And I'll see you all, hopefully, tomorrow night at 7. Be sure to hit that follow button, then you'll be notified when we're live. Hit that share button if you know somebody who's interested in these subjects. All of our shows are archived, so if you missed it, you can always go back to our on-demand section anytime, 24/7, and play any of our past presentations, including this one. So you all set. And I'll see you guys tomorrow. Here's a little music to take us out. And I want to wish everybody a good evening, a good night. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Ciao.